I'm Rebecca Livingston, sitting in for Tegan Taylor. The world has a digital element to it, which is now really a non-negotiable. Whether it's government portals, your healthcare, your banking, most essential services are now completely online. And for older Australians who have had to adapt to this world, the constant changes and pressure to keep up can be quite isolating. This feeling has been described as techno-stress, and with the world becoming digital by default, it can create a lot of anxiety. While for many it has opened doors for connection and community, for others, it is another roadblock in trying to live their life. You're going to hear from a researcher in this field and also from a foundation who's trying to bridge this digital divide, but I want to hear from you. We often hear about the frustrations of technology. What about the benefits? I wonder if having gone online has opened doors for you, or are there still barriers you'd like to overcome? Look, I'm going to put my hand up and say I feel techno-stressed. I have too many remote controls just for the TV at home, and every time I want to buy something, someone wants my email, my address, my phone number, and a password, which I definitely can't remember. So maybe our next guest can help. Melanie Stoll is a PhD candidate at the University of Auckland who has researched people using digital technology later in life and the impact on mental well-being. Hi, Melanie.
Hello, thank you for having me.
What does techno stress look like, in particular in older people?
Yeah, so techno stress is not really a new term. It was traditionally used to describe the type of stress amongst workers around the need to having to adapt and upskill in technology. So it's essentially about the struggle to cope that some people might feel with new and changing technologies. But more recently, the term is beginning to be used to describe the technology-related stress amongst older people. So this is the idea of how technology itself can be a source of stress in people's everyday lives. This stress can be due to a number of reasons related to the use or the expectation to use technology. So in the research I've been doing for my PhD, I've been learning about some of the technology-related stressors that older people are experiencing. This includes the need to unlearn and relearn the same app after updates that have completely changed the interface and locked you out. The thought of having third generations being targeted by scammers and the stress that comes with that. And then just the pressure to use technology increasingly in our everyday tasks and in order to just get our daily jobs done. So all of these factors can contribute to a lower sense of well-being.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you'd be hard-pressed going to your local cafe now without having a digital option to order. And I certainly know lots of people still just want to talk to a human being. Has the horse kind of bolted it? Like, is this the world going forward, or do you think there'll be some analog rebels?
It's a great question. I certainly hope so. What I've learned in the interviews I've done so far is that while technology is seen as a great innovation and with so much potential to improve our lives, that human contact and having that choice for a non-digital option is still really important to older people. And I think if we pay attention to that, we can also support a lot of other groups who are experiencing digital exclusion and remembering that sometimes that human connection is actually really important to maintain.
Melanie, you interviewed some subjects who are very digitally connected. Do they have the same concerns?
Yeah, absolutely. So, for example, I interviewed a 71-year-old woman who says that she uses an AI assistant and she really enjoys it and finds use for creative writing projects. And I've also interviewed some retired IT and software developers. They may be using technology quite frequently and they do have high levels of knowledge, but even among those people, there was still a need and a feeling that they feel they have to really be intentional about keeping up with technology after retirement. And it seems to just get more and more difficult with age and in those increasing years after retirement.
And perhaps also if you leave a workplace where you have an IT support team, you know, someone you can call and say, I can't log in here or there's a problem in retirement, or if you change work scenarios, perhaps who don't have that same support.
Absolutely, yes. And so the people I spoke to who did have experience in working with computers throughout their working years, they definitely noticed that change after retirement where they had that built-in support network and that network was no longer there. And of course, we need to remember that not everyone comes from a background where computer use is part of their working life. And for those people, the requirement and expectation to use technology in later life can be even more daunting.
I'm Rebecca Levingston. This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. We are talking about techno stress. Do you feel frustrated in dealing with online services, whether it's your bank or your health portal? And I wonder if you've ever felt targeted by online scams. Melanie, what are the risks if the older generation are technologically left out?
I think the risks here are getting quite large. It seems that a lot of public and government services are increasingly digital first. A lot of essential services like banking and healthcare are increasingly digital first as well. And so the first thing we have to think about is whether we're supporting everyone, including older people, to access those services that they need. And the potential risks of that, if people are left out of the technology side of things, then they're losing the ability to maintain their independence as they get older and really contributing to poorer mental well-being overall.
Well, also joining us is Jess Wilson, the CEO of Good Things Australia, who provide programs for a range of communities aimed at upskilling people to boost confidence in technology. Jess, tell us about the work you're doing in closing the digital divide.
Oh, it's great to be here and fantastic to hear this new research that's just come out. And certainly that backs up a lot of the evidence that we have in delivering a range of programs. So we deliver programs to support people to build their skills and confidence to use technology. And in particular, over the last 9 years, we've been delivering a program called Be Connected, which is really focused on supporting older Australians to build their confidence to be online and to really thrive online. And we deliver that in partnership with the Department of Social Services and eSafety Commissioner. And so there is a really strong focus on how do we support people to stay safe online, because we definitely know that that is one of the key issues and challenges for older people who are, and it's actually one of the barriers for them getting online. And mostly importantly is that we deliver that through a network of community organisations who deliver programs to people in their local spaces, because we know how important it is for people not only to learn these new skills, but to do so in a place that's friendly and is local to them and where they know that they're going to get that support.
Jess, not to put too fine a point on it, but what age group are we defining as older Australians these days? Because I could certainly put myself in this group.
It's very interesting. Actually, for Be Connected, you have to be 50 and over. So it is actually quite young. And I think that's really important, because as you've heard about techno stress and the impact of digital on our lives today, it is really important that people, even who are working in the workplace, have the opportunity to learn. Or they may, you know, be changing jobs. There's been a significant change for people. And if they're wanting to get back into the workforce, they need to make sure that they have those digital skills. So 50 and over is older today.
It strikes me that the onus is always being put back on us to adapt to technology. Shouldn't great tech be designed with us in mind and remove some of those barriers?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that we advocate for significantly all the time, is ensuring that the systems that people have to use are built for the people that are using them. And so, for example, MyGov, you know, we know that there are significant challenges for people in being able to just get onto those services, which means that they don't access the support that they are really eligible for. So we definitely see that there is a need to do both things. You know, one is making sure that the systems themselves are accessible and able for people to be able to use. And secondly, that people feel confident to use them. And we often talk about this, the thing about digital resilience. So supporting people to feel confident enough that if there is a change in the app that they use all the time, that they go, okay, I know this is not the same. I know I can probably work it out. And if I can't, I know I've got support somewhere to help me do this.
And sometimes, Jess, that support can come from another family member. I'm thinking specifically of, you know, this is an opportunity for intergenerational communication and support. I know in my own family, when my husband and I go and have dinner with my mum and dad, they'll often say, great, our IT support officer is here. Got a few questions we need to run you through. Do you think that happens in other lots of families?
Absolutely. It happens in many, many families, including my own. And I think it's really important that we're able to provide that support. But it can be tricky. And I know that some people, older people, don't want to ask their family because they feel like they're too busy or they don't have time. But there are really important opportunities for people to learn. And I think one of the pieces of the program that we've been delivering in Be Connected is a young mentors program where we actually match young people to older people to be able to learn together about technology. And it's not just the older people that learn about tech, it's the young people that also learn about, you know, a whole lot of life skills and life knowledge that older people have to share with them as well.
I'd love to hear how you're navigating technology in 2026. Do you know this feeling of techno stress? Jess, the other component that Melanie mentioned was the concern about being targeted for scams. Do you think there's enough resources for people in being vigilant against scammers?
Yeah, look, I think the thing is that scammers are just getting better and better at doing this. And I think there are fantastic resources. So the Be Connected website has fantastic resources that have been developed by the experts in the eSafety Commission to support people to know what to do, to how to prevent scams and well, not prevent them, but how to avoid them if possible, and all the tips and tricks around doing that. But I think that the key thing is also that if you do get scammed, because so many of us have been today, it's not just an issue for older people, it's for anyone today, that you make sure that you tell somebody about it, that you do something about it so that it doesn't get worse. Because we know that that's what often happens for older people. They feel really embarrassed and they are ashamed that they might have been scammed. And our key message is, this is not something you've done wrong. This is something that, you know, this is a criminal trying to get money from you, and you need to be able to get the support you need to be able to respond to it.
Yeah. Melanie, just to wrap up, in this ever-evolving world of technology, is your sense that older generations, and that's 50 plus we're talking about, says Jess, that people really want to continue to participate in technology, that the people are open to it?
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the biggest lessons from my research so far is that it is quite a large age group if we're talking about 50 and over. So we can't make assumptions. And yes, absolutely. I spoke to people across the age spectrum over 65 who said they see the benefits and the value of technology. It can be a great way of connecting with people and staying in touch with family living overseas. The potential benefits are endless if they are digitally included. So that's really the key, is just feeling that they're part of this world and they're wanted in the digital world. And I think in order to do that, we have to really think about how we develop and design technologies and making sure that older people are included in that process a bit more.
Yeah, I think you've hit on something there that so many families can relate to. Pictures from family living overseas or interstate, you know, FaceTime videos where you can talk to your children or your grandchildren. Just finally, what do you see as the benefits for everyone if there are, you know, across generations, people interacting in the digital space?
Well, I mean, from our evidence of our programs, we know that over 70% of people are more socially connected if they are online. And that's not just because they're able to stay connected with their friends and family, but because they've been learning with other people in a local space to be able to do that. And about 72% of participants in Be Connected are also have increased everyday independence. So they're able to do things themselves, not just to be able to use technology, but feel more confident than to be able able to access other services or go and get a volunteer job. So there's a whole lot of benefits in supporting. And we want to make sure that everybody's participating. Older people are so essential to our community, and we want to make sure that they have exactly the same opportunities to participate in the digital world as in the everyday world.
Some great experiences coming through on text. Someone says, I live in a nursing home at the age of 75. I am the youngest resident and the only one who uses email and texting regularly. My daughters insist on managing much of my affairs, mainly because they're worried about scamming. And Mark says, those EFTPOS terminals with no buttons, only a touch screen, are discriminatory against visually impaired people. They may look good to executives and stylists, but a physical keypad is functional. The same problem is evident elsewhere. I mean, that comes down to the actual physical design of things, Melanie, doesn't it?
It does. Yes, that's a great example. And I did speak with some older people as well who said similar things around the design of technologies not really being supportive of people with cognitive or vision or any other type of impairment. It's really developed with abled people in mind, and that's something to really think about.
Carmel says, I am bedeviled by passwords. I have dozens of them and have taken to writing them down, which I know is not recommended. Even to read my energy bill, I need a password. I'm 77 years old. I feel your pain, Carmel. Someone else says, I'm finding the updates to my phone are very stressful. I do like to talk to a real human being. And someone else says, you're expressing an idea close to my heart, about to retire and terrified of losing all the tech support that I have at work. I'm envisioning leaving all digital services I've enjoyed for decades. Melanie and Jess, really appreciate you helping to de-stress us technologically this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Melanie Stoll, a PhD candidate at the University of Auckland, and Jess Wilson, the CEO of Good Things Australia.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.